are holding on Chof Vav Amud Aleph, four lines from the bottom. We mentioned yesterday a braisa that said that b'shvua v'ne'elam mimenu, that because the Torah puts the word shvua next to the word v'ne'elam, that implies that he's only chayav for korban olah v'yored if what he forgot was the shvua, not if what he forgot was the object regarding which the shvua is. Right. So we discussed what could that possibly mean. Is there any possibility where you forget where is it, is there any possibility where you forget the shavua and remember the object? Right. So we said that in Eretz Yisrael, we said that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina laughed at this, that at this idea that there could be such a thing, and Rabbi Elazar said also in Eretz Yisrael said indeed there can't be. It's all the same thing. Then Rabbi Yosef said, I can find a way to make it work, actually. You can have a case, for example, where the person grabbed a piece of bread thinking that it's one kind, thinking that it's a different kind. So he knows about its shavua. He just didn't, he was mistaken about what object this is. He thought it was barley bread, whereas he thought it was barley bread when really it was wheat bread. And Abaya argued that that still amounts to Helam Shavua, though, because the fact is that if he had known what this is, then he wouldn't have eaten it. Therefore, if he ate it, it amounts to that he forgot his shavua. So in other words, in short, we have two different opinions. We have Rabbi Yosef's opinion that braisa can be made to work. There is a way to have helam shavua without helam chayfet without helam shavua. And we have the other opinions, Rabbi Yosef of Chanina and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbaya, who argue that not. So the next question is going to be within the opinion, within Rabbi Yosef's opinion, that says that you do have such a thing possible. Bomine Rava Mirav Nachman. So Rava asked Rav Nachman, within that opinion, if it is possible, as this Braisa is saying, to have Helam Shavua and not without Helam Chayfetz, without Helam Shavua, what about Helam Zev Zev Yodema? What happens if the person forgot both, the Shavua and the object?
Wait a minute.
Till now, we were talking about, within the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, that you're able to have either one without the other one. And for that matter, I mean, according to the other opinions as well, we said that you're able to have, to forget the shavua and not forget the chayfet. For example, you said a shavua that I'm not going to eat bread, and you thought, you said you will eat bread.
Right.
You were mistaken about the shavua, but you remembered what the object is. They argued that there's no way to have it the other way around. If you forget the object, inevitably it means you forgot the shavua as well. Rabbi Yosef argued you could find such a scenario where
right.
he picks up
so
a piece of bread.
How can you have within that opinion?
Within Rabbi Yosef's understanding,
one without the other.
That you can have either one without the other. So we have to ask the question, what happens? Well, going back, not really within Rabbi Yosef's opinion, I should say.
Okay.
Within what the Braisa said, what the Braisa had said, that you only chayav a korban shavua, Rabbi Yosef was explaining the Braisa.
Right.
Given what the Braisa is saying, that you only chayav a korban if you forgot the shavua, not if you forgot the object, what happens if you forgot both of them? Are you going to be chayav a korban shavua or not?
You have to.
No, that's the question. The Braisa was saying, and Rabbi Yosef clarified how, you can have either one without the other. So now, if you ended up forgetting both of them, are you bringing a korban? Omalei, sort of Nachman says.
If you forgot one of them, you bring a korban, right?
Only if you forgot the shavua, not if you forgot the chayfet. So Rava is asking, what if you forgot both the shavua and the chayfet?
If you forgot the shavua and the chayfet, you also forgot the shavua.
That's what we're going to discuss. Omalei, harei helam shavua biyadi v'chayev. So Rav Nachman says, okay, well, it means that you forgot the shavua,
right.
Therefore you have to be chayev.
Right.
On the other hand, adraba, can't you argue the other way around? Harei helam chayfet biyadi v'potter. On the other hand, though, there is a helam chayfet, and therefore he should be potter. If the braisa is telling us that you have, because it says if shavua v'ne'elam, that he's only chayev if he forgot the chayfet, if he forgot the shavua, not if he forgot the chayfet, well then, it should follow that if he forgot the chayfet, then the Torah is pottering him from a carbon. The Torah is only being mechayev him from a carbon. Is only being mechayev him in a carbon if, in fact, the only thing he forgot was the shavua.
That's this one. If you say you forget one, and you don't forget the other. If you forget the shavua, you don't forget the chayfet. So you don't bring a carbon. Then it seems to imply that if you still forget both, you wouldn't. You could. But then you should have to say initially that you forget the shvua, not the chesed, only bring a korban.
But that's what we're asking.
It's not the
so
same.
That's what we're asking. Amar Rav Ashi Chazinan. So Rav Ashi says, well, let's look at the situation. We had a similar kind of thing earlier in the second parak in connection with Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav, where we discussed over there the person forgot that he was Tomei and forgot Mikdash, according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva over there, who said that you only chayav for one, not the other. So chazinin, we have to look at the situation. If he withdraws because of the shavua, in other words, if you remind him, you know you made a shavua, and that causes him to stop, then harei helam shavua b'yodeh. Then we know, then we see that what he forgot was the shavua. Then therefore he'll be chayiv. Then therefore he'll be chayiv for a carbon. V'chayim, there and then he's chayim. Imach mas chayfetz kaparish. If, on the other hand, he only withdraws when we mention to him the object, you, this is wheat bread, harehelam chayfetz v'yadayu potter. Then it means that up until now he forgot the chayfetz, therefore he'd be potter from a carbon. So Tosfos over there explained that, so this is how Rashi explained it, that it's talking about you mention one versus the other to him. Tosfos said over there, and would argue the same over here, that it can't mean that because you don't know. You mentioned to him, let's say, the Shavua, and maybe if you had mentioned to him the bread, he also would have withdrawn. So therefore, Tosfos says, what Rav Ashi is saying is not necessarily are we saying this is a foolproof method. Sometimes you're able to answer it. Sometimes you're able to find, you mention one to him versus you mention the other to him, and then we can clearly see which one he forgot. It's true. You could have that he really did truly equally well forget both of them, and therefore you mention one of them to him versus the other, it doesn't really help, then it's true. You're still left with the doubt which one, practically speaking. So in other words, according to Rashi, Rav Ashi is saying that you always have a way of figuring this out. According to Tosfos, Rav Ashi is saying sometimes, you may or may not. However, Amalei Ravina lo Rav Ashi, again, like the Gemara over there, Ravina says to Rav Ashi, why? Klum parish mishvur ala v'shum chayfet. The fact is, why is he withdrawing when you mention the shvur? Because he realizes that the chayfet that he's holding, the object that he's holding, was the subject of his shvur. Klum parish mechayfet ala mishum shvur. And if you mentioned to him the chayfet, what would cause him to drop it, to not do it, would be because he would remember that he had a shvur. Ela lo shna, so therefore it's no different.
It's not necessary. Not necessarily.
But presumably so.
It's very possible.
Ela lo shna, therefore, Ravina says it doesn't matter, which means therefore Rashi says, and most of the other Rishonim also say, means he's potter, therefore. He is in fact potter from the carbon. You can only be mechayev him only if what he forgot was the shvur, not if he forgot the shvur as well as the chayev.
Yeah, but how would you tell?
That's how you would tell, because in this case, if l'chatchila he forgot both of them, If you saw it to begin with, that he forgot both of them, then he would be positive. He himself knows. You don't need to have to draw for a carbon, so it all depends what he himself knows. He himself knows in his mind whether he forgot one versus the other, or whether he forgot both of them. So therefore, and the Rambam actually gives a reason behind it. The Rambam says the reason why he'll be positive is because that's more similar to oinus. We learned before, we said yesterday that if he forgets both, that's similar to oinus in that sense. It's not when the Torah is being mechayev you a korban for being over on a shavua b'shogeg, that would have to be not quite like this. This would have to be where there was helam shavua but not helam chayev. Okay. With that said, you have the Rashba wants to argue that maybe lo shna means that it should be either way he should be chayev, but the halacha is not like that. So the halacha is in fact like the understanding of Rashi and the Ramban that it means that if he forgets both he's potter. Bomine rova miram nach. Okay, now Rava asked Rav Nachman another question. Well then, when it comes to a shavua l'sha'avar, where do you ever have a case of it being b'shogeg? But for a shavua l'haba, we just discussed how you can have shogeg, that you forget the shavua, but you don't forget the object or whatever. But for l'sha'avar, how do you ever have... No, the question is like this. If he knew at the... Remember, l'sha'avar means that he's saying, I swear, for example, that I ate. If he knew at the time that he had in fact not eaten, mazed, well then he's amazed and he doesn't bring a carbon. And idolo yada onosu, and we discussed yesterday that if he doesn't know, liboy onso, that his heart convinced him that what he said was correct, and it turned out like we had Rabat Rokahana and Rabasi over there, and it turns out that not, then he would be an onosu, he'd bite to be potter. What is the case of shogeg that you would have by a shavua l'sha'avar?
Why do you say you couldn't have a shogeg?
That because we're asking, on the face of it, either he knows that he ate before and when he swears that he didn't eat, or he doesn't know, he forgot. That he forgot at the time, he sincerely thought that he hadn't eaten and made a shavua to that effect. Well, in that latter case, he'd be an onus, and in the first case, he'd be amazing. Either way, no carbon.
When do you have a carbon b'shogeg?
Only b'shogeg, that's the question. Amalei, so Rav Nachman answers him, b'omer, you can have a case where a person says, yedei ani sheshavua zu asura, yes, I know that this shavua is also. I know that what I'm saying is not a true shavua. Aval any yedei.
No, I knew.
How I know right now when I'm making this shavua that this shavua is also. Lo wait, aval Aval, but yeah, this is what we're talking about. He's saying now, he's swearing now that he ate, for example, when he in fact did not eat.
Right.
And he's thinking to himself right now, I know that this shavur is also aval eni yadeya im chayavan alei korban elav. However, I don't know whether you chayav a korban such a thing. That kind of thing, that not knowing whether it's chayav a korban, is the definition of shogeg for our purposes.
Why is it shogeg if you don't know that you're going to? It's about
that's this is L'Shaavar we're talking about now. This is L'Shaavar. We're saying that the way to make it work, the way that it would happen, that he'd be chayav for shogeg, would be if all that he forgot was whether he's chayav a korban. Okay.
He forgot he was chayav a korban. He
knew he's not supposed to have done it. Yeah.
So why'd you say?
So he doesn't know whether you're chayav a korban for it or not. That is when, once he finds out that he is in fact chayav a korban, he will be chayav a korban. That's the definition of shogeg again, because we've eliminated all the other possibilities. You know, otherwise it's either that he knew at the time what the original facts were, and then he's amazed, or he didn't know, and then we said before he's an honest. So the only way to make it work is like that. So the question,
it's strange.
Okay, but that's how it is. So the question, the problem with that is, Kaman to Munbaz, who would that be like, though? That seems to be, it would be only like the opinion of Munbaz. The Gemara has a discussion.
When you didn't know the korban.
This that you didn't, that was saying, that being a shogeg, not knowing whether you have to bring a korban, that should be considered shogeg, that works out only according to the opinion of Munbaz. The Munbaz is there's a sugya in Shabbos, in the seventh parak of Shabbos, when it talks about the whole concept of what it means to be a shogeg in Shabbos, when you have to, what are the various circumstances when you bring a Shabbos. Well, the Gemara discusses it most extensively in Shabbos. It brings it up briefly here and there in other places, in Chrysos, in other places, but primarily the main place of the sugya is in Shabbos.
Okay.
So you have the opinion of Munbaz over there, where the Gemara discusses it over, there's a whole discussion running over several, over about three or four blocks over there, where the Gemara establishes that what Munbaz would hold, that if you're shogeg on, that if your shgoga consisted only of the fact that you didn't know whether you chayav a chatas for this or not, that is considered a shogeg. So the question is, kaman to Munbaz? Well, then it seems what Reb Nachman is saying over here is only like Munbaz, dama shogeg as korban shma shgoga, who says that being shogeg about the korban is considered a shogeg. But the Chachamim there disagree with him, and the halacha is in fact like not like Munbaz. So what are we doing with that?
What are we doing with what?
What are we doing? How is Reb Nachman reconciling that? That here he's saying that Shigas Korban is considered a shgaga when we as if that was a halacha when we see that's only according to Munbaz. The answer is Ad Kam Litzvigur Afilotemer Abanan. No, because you could even answer that in this case what Reb Nachman is saying even goes along with what the Rabbanan say. Because Ad Kam Litzvigur Abanan Alei De Munbaz. Because the only reason why we find that the Chachamim disagree with Munbaz, the only case where they disagree with him, is Ela B'Chol HaTorah Kula. They disagree with him in other dinim of the Torah. When you have that, if amazing, you have chorus for something, and b'shogeg you have to bring a korban. They say Delav Chidushu. They say that there's no particular chidush in the fact that you're being chayav a chatas for this thing, because the general rule is, when are you chayav a chatas? Something that if you did it b'mezid, you'd be chayav karet. So there's no particular chidush in it, and therefore they say it's enough, for example, you could have that you were shogeg, let's say you didn't know you're chayav karet or whatever. We're not going to go so far as to say that you're considered a shogeg if you didn't know you're chayav a karet.
Anything else but
for this. Anything else but this. Aval ha'cha de chidushu, but over here it is a chidush. This whole concept that for shavuos bitur you bring a korban, de b'chol ha'torah kula lo ashkachan lav de ma'isi korban. We never find anywhere else in the Torah a plain old lav for which you bring a korban. You always have any korban that you bring, anything that you bring a korban for, is always something that is chayav koris b'mezid. We should say not
any love. Let's
clarify that. Not that you don't bring a korban at all. There are, for example, you have the various cases of hashamis. But we're talking about as far as a chatas. As far as a chatas, and a korban or the viyodid is a type of chatas. It's just a variable depending on your means.
It's a lot of chatas.
Right. The general rule is you only bring a chatas. You only bring a chatas, or in this case, a korban or the viyodid, when there's korist involved in mezid. And the reason is Yochin and Me'avodah Zarah, because we learn it by a Binyan Av from Avodah Zarah, where Avodah Zarah is something that's high of Korah if he did it be major, and there was no Eid in Basra. So therefore, So when it comes to all other dinim, then yeah, you have to have that you didn't know there was karis involved, or you didn't know that the thing is also in the first place or whatever. But over here, you find an exception that you're bringing a carbon, chakas that is, for something which only involves a lav, where the maximum penalty, if you did it b'mezid, it is malchus. Afilu rabbanon moidu, even the rabbanon can be moidu over here, that to not know that it's chayav a carbon is considered enough of a shrek. Because it's different than the whole than kolat
carbon.
Yeah. And in fact, I think the Ritva says that's the idea, is because by other things in the Torah, you can say that you can consider him a shogig when he doesn't know, let's say, the thing is chayav kares. Here, there's no kares, so therefore, by default, we fall back on that if he doesn't know that there's a korban, then that's already enough to consider him a shogig. So Munbaz would hold that same concept for Chola Torah Kola. The Chachamim disagree with him, but over here, the Chachamim would agree with this idea that Shigur korban is called a shogig. That's what we just said.
No, but
because
I mean,
the other cases are
chorus.
Because we just said because this case is an exception, because this case is no chorus. Whereas every other case we bring a chassis, there is chorus involved.
And here you just said Marcus.
Here you just said Marcus. Okay. So that's it then. So that's the bottom line is the definition of, so again, the definition of a shogig in Shavuos Bitur L'Sha'ogar is where he didn't know at the time he made the Shavuot that he's chayav a korban, but he knew that it is a false Shavuot. That is the halacha. As far as lahaba, we said before that the shogig would have to consist of that he forgot the shavua but remembered the chet. Okay. Onward. Bamine ravina merav. Nishbal kikar. Suppose a person made a shavua that he's not going to eat a certain loaf of bread, or mistaken aleha, and then he's in danger over it. In other words, we would assume that mistaken means like he's in danger, like that takonas nefashas, he has to eat it. Mahu, what would be the dish? Would he bring a korban in that case?
What?
He made a shvur that he's not eating a certain loaf of bread. Now he's in sakana, which for purposes of the question, we're assuming that sakana means that he's in danger, he's in danger of dying of hunger. So now, if he doesn't eat the bread. So mahu, what would be the dish? Is he going to be chayav a korban if he eats it? The Gemara asks, what do you mean? Mistaken l'shur lemar. Of course, if he's in sakana. The Gemara already knows the question. You know, don't. Yeah.
I know, but
okay, so then in that case. Yeah. So hold up. Mistaken l'shur lemar. The obvious question is, if he's in sakana already, of course you should be moderate for him. If a person were to come to Beis Din under such circumstances, they would be moderate him l'chatchila to eat it. Right. So if he forgets his shavua, certainly you can't say he was over on his shavua. That's no less than onus. Of course he'd be potter. No, rather the question is not mistaken as in his life is actually in danger, but element star. What if he's only, he's
he
in pain?
That he wouldn't be father because...
Because it would be kind of like,
oh,
because
it's implied. That it would not be become, but not be sakana.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't need that. I mean, it's sakana. Pikuach nefesh doika kolat artikolo. So, yeah, we would be master him to eat it in the first place. Yeah. Element star of a shigur and shavua mai. No, rather the question is, what if he's in pain from hunger? So Rashi understands it like this: even he
not being besatana.
Right. However, what it is like. So what does it mean with star? So Rashi. So you have three different ways of learning it among the Rishonim. Rashi learns that what it means is he's in a situation where he would have gone ahead and eaten it even if he hadn't forgotten his shavua. In the event he forgot his shavua and ended up eating it. The question is that considered is that considered shogig on his shavua? The fact that he did end up forgetting his shavua, or do we say that not, since he would have eaten it even if he'd remembered his shavua because of the mitzvah? Tosfos asks in that case it doesn't need to mention mitzvah in the first place. You could just say without mitzvah that he's the kind of person who he would have eaten it even if he'd remembered. He would have deliberately been over on his shavua, and in the end, in the event, he forgot. So rather, Tosfos has a different explanation of Mitzar. He's Mitzar, he feels bad that he can't forget his Shavua. He remembers his Shavua. He wants desperately to forget his Shavua in order to be able to eat it. And in the end, he does end up forgetting it, and he does end up eating it. Is that considered a valid kind of forgetting?
Not just from the person, but why if you cheat something the husband was... Huh? But in the other, she didn't know, she...
Oh, that's, yeah, you're right, Rashi Yisroch law, right. It's, yeah, vaguely similar. Yeah, there you have. Yeah, okay. You're talking about, like, you have a woman made a neder on something. Her husband was, not if she forgot, her husband was made for it. Meanwhile, she went and was over on it, thinking that it's still valid, and it turns out her husband already had been made for it, and he said she still needs kapara anyway. Okay. Well, okay, I guess it's somewhat similar. Anyway, the Rambam has a third explanation of mitzvah. The guy is in pain. He's suffering from the hunger, like Rashi said, but therefore he mistakenly thinks, well, then the halacha must be, I must be allowed to eat it. The halacha presumably doesn't apply to a case like that where it bothers me to not eat it.
He didn't think he would have to bring a carbon.
Yeah, well, that's the question. Is he chayav a carbon or not? Mine. What's the din? So mitzvah ocho b'shigga shrua. He ended up eating it. He did indeed forget his shrua, but it's either that, like Rashi says, he would have eaten it even if he hadn't forgotten the shrua. Like Tosva says, he really wanted to forget the shrua, and in the end, he did. Or like the Rambam, that he thought that once he's mitzvah, then he's allowed to. And in the event he forgot his shrua, what would be the deal? Amalei.
Such question was in.
We need to know. The fact of the matter is he did end up forgetting his shvur. Is that considered shigas shvur?
In addition to the fact that he was in sakana.
But he wasn't in sakana. We said before, sakana, there's no question. The question is mitzvah. That's why we changed mitzvah into mitzvah. Amalei, so Rava answers him, tanena. We have, you can see, we learn in a braisa, shav mi di ose maybe korban ashigas. Only if the person retracts from his knowledge, meaning, in other words, if he knew that it was usher, he would have retracted, he wouldn't have done it. Maybe korban ashigga. So that's the kind of thing that he brings a korban for his shulga. Lo shav mi diyaseh. But if he did not retract from his knowledge, meaning in a case like this, he would have done it anyway, even though he knows it's usher. Maybe carbon, and then he doesn't bring a carbon, and that's the situation over here. According to all these three explanations, it's not like if he knew that if he remembered his shavua, he wouldn't have eaten it in the end. Either, like Rashi says, he would have gone ahead anyway because he didn't mind breaking his shavua. Like Tosfos says, he wants so much to forget his shavua that in the end he would have kind of forced himself to overlook it and eat it. And according to the Rambam, he would have figured because he's in Sire, he's allowed to eat it. So therefore, no, you don't bring a carbon for such a thing. It has to be that he genuinely forgot. Okay. Omar Shmuel, Gomar Beliboy, a person made up in his mind that he's going to make a certain shiur. Sarech Shiyoti Bisfasav. He has to actually speak it out with his lips. If not, it's not considered a shiur. Shenema Levate Bisfasayim. Because the pasuk says by a shiur, Levate Bisfasayim, to speak with his lips. So therefore, unless it's spoken, it's not a shiur. Okay, the Gemara says Mesvi. I have a contradiction, though.
So that you've already.
No, we didn't. No, the Gemara talks about it in other places, but Maseret Hashas references over here something in Chagiga, which we learned like 4 years ago. But besides that, also, I mean, okay, you have a similar concept in Nedarim, but okay, Mesvi. The Gemara says I have a contradiction. A Braita says this for Sayim v'loy v'lev. A Braita says a Shavua has to be done with the lips, not just in the heart. Gomer believe me nine, but where do we know that if he made up in his heart that he's going to make the shavua minayin? How do we know that such a shavua is valid?
With his lips, but not with his heart.
Hold on. We first have to understand what the braisa is going to say. Tamad lomel cholashi yivate adam shavua. Therefore, the pasuk says everything that a person will speak with a shavua. So before we get to the question on Shmuel. We have to understand the braisa itself seems to be self-contradictory. First it says v'sfasayim, but then it says goma v'livoy. So it sounds like, so the first three words of the braisa seem to be saying that it has to be said with the lips, but the next phrase of the braisa is saying that goma v'livoy is enough, that it is enough for it to be a shvur. And then it mentions the word ashayivate adam, which means that you speak. So hogufa kashas, you have a contradiction within the braisa. Amarta v'sfasayim v'loy v'liv. You're saying that is it the shvur has to be said with the lips? It's not enough for it to be in the heart. V'hadar amad gomer b'libim inayin. Then you continue. If he concluded in his heart and decided to make this shvur, how do we know that it's valid? So let's first understand what the braisa means, and then once we understand it, then we'll be able to use it for a question on Shmuel. Amar Rav Sheshes holei kasha. So Rav Sheshes says that's not a question. And by the way, Rashi points out a couple of blocks ago, whenever the Gemara says holei kasha, means that's nothing. You have a question to ask. I'll show you a serious question that you can ask. This particular question that you're asking.
But you did it initially with your lips.
This seeming contradiction in the Braisa is not really the best question you could ask in this connection.
The question is
that the Braisa seems to be contradicting itself. Is it the Sfasayim or is it Dromabuli, right? Halkikama, no. What the Braisa means is like this. This Sfasayim, it has to be spoken with the lips, meaning Veloisha Gomabuli Velahoitsi Bisfasa Velahoitsi. It can't be a case where he made up his mind to express it with his lips, but he didn't end up expressing it. That would not be a shavua. On the other hand, goma beliba stam minayin. But how do we know that if he just made up in his mind that he's going to make a shavua without making it part of his making up his mind that he's going to speak it out? How do we know that such a shavua is valid? Therefore, the pasuk says anything that a person will speak. And not necessarily that he spoke yet, in other words. In other words, what the Braisa is saying is there's two different ways of making a shavuot. One is that both of them involve that you have to make up, that you have to make up your mind to do it. But one involves that you intended that the shavuot will only take effect as soon as you say it. And the other is that you intended that it should take effect just as soon as you decided it in your mind.
Mentally.
And either way works.
So that's what I mean.
The Sfasayim V'Loibel. So now let's look at the Braisa again. The Sfasayim V'Loibel, that it has to be spoken with the heart, not just that it's in your mind, because that's talking about the case where you intended the Shavua should only be Chal when you said it. So until you say it, it's not a Shavua. On the other hand, Goma B'Libe B'Nayin, how do we know that if you made up your mind that the Shavua is going to be effective as soon as you finish making up your mind? How do we know that that's effective? Tam Adonai L'Chol HaShe Yivatei Adam B'Shavua. So now... So there's two different ways. The point is that l'chol asher yivatei adam, anything that a person is capable of saying. Once he has goma beliba, he's capable of saying it. But then we're saying it's chal even before he said it, because it was beliba.
How can you say it's habitual? It's not yet.
L'chol asher yivatei, anything that he will speak, but he hasn't necessarily spoken it yet. Even before he speaks it.
Yivatei means did say.
Okay, so now that we understand the Braisa, Elul Shmuel Kasha, so now we have a contradiction to Shmuel, because Shmuel said that even though he made it up in his mind, he had to say it with his lips, or else it's not a Shavua. And Rishonim explained. Now, the Gemara could have answered that Shmuel meant it exactly the same way as we just understood the Braisa. That Shmuel meant that if you made up in your mind that the Shavua is only going to be Chal when you speak it, then it's only Chal when you speak it. The reason the Gemara doesn't want to use that answer, Tosfos says it. Why don't we just understand Shmuel the same way as we just understood the Braisa? The reason is, Tosfos says, because an Amora is expected to clarify himself more. A Tana in a Mishnah or a Braisa can speak very elliptically, and it's up to the Amoroyim to understand where to clarify what he said. But an Amora, being that the Amoroyim are the last period of the transmission of the Torah Sheval Peh before it's written down, they have to clarify things. So we can't just say that Shmuel is using an elliptical expression like that and not clarify what he's saying. So we have a question on Shmuel. So Rav Sheshet says, you do have to explain what Shmuel is saying a little bit, but not quite as much as the Braisa. Explain it like this. This Fosayim, that when we say, explain the Braisa rather as follows. Explain the Braisa as follows. This Fosayim, when it says that he speaks with his lips, meaning excluding the case, Veloshim, Goma Beliba, Lahoti Pas Chitin, Lahoti Pas Odin. Meaning excluding the case where he mentally made up in his mind that he's going to after himself from eating wheat bread. And in the end, he ended up speaking that he's aftering himself in barley bread. So such a Shavua is not Chal, because it has to be Piv Veliba Shavin. It has to be that what he says with his mouth and what he had in mind in his mind don't contradict each other. In this case, they do, because he intended one thing and he ended up saying the other. That's not Chal. In this case, which one? This case that we just said. If he intended to say one type of bread and he said a different type of bread.
Not in that case.
Wait, hold on. No, this is we're re-explaining the Braisa. Goma beliba lahoti pas chitin vahoti pas stam minayin. But how do we know that if he intended to speak of wheat bread and he just ended up saying generically, I'm asking myself in bread, how do we know that Sezer Shavua is valid and he's actually also in all types of bread? Therefore, the pasuk mentions anything that a person says. So if we understand the braisa that new way, then it's no contradiction at all to Shmuel. Because Shmuel clearly said, then we say the braisa is not saying there's a way of making a shavua where it's only in your mind and not verbalized. It always has to be verbalized. But the difference is, if what you thought in your mind does not contradict what you ended up saying, then what you ended up saying takes precedence. If they do contradict, then no, you don't have a shavua at all. So if he intended to say chitim and he said sa'urin, then there's no shavua at all. If he intended to say chitim and he just said pach generically, then it is chal.
As long as there's no contradiction,
right? Yeah. But it always needs to be verbalized. It always needs to be spoken out, which is what Shmuel said. So therefore, the braisa fits very neatly with what Shmuel was saying. Yeah.
What happens if you express something verbally without any understanding in your mind, and then secondarily you give it an understanding in your mind? You would say it's the same. It's how it's both.
You weren't going with the liver. You didn't make up in your mind. You just spoke without thinking. Would that be considered a shavua?
No, not at that time, but afterwards you intended it to mean something.
I don't know that would work. Tosfos points out a little. Tosfos discusses a little bit over here about the details when we say that you have to have pivalibe shoven. We look back in the Nedarim about the case, for example, where you have a government official or whatever is forcing you to make a neder in order that he won't take such and such for government purposes or whatever. So then you're able to make a neder that's not fully chal because you have mental reservations on it.
So
in that case, it's a matter of onus.
They ask you that you should.
They ask you to be mevatel any moedah. Yeah.
Why do they do that? If according to this Gemara, they wouldn't.
Here we're not. That's a whole different thing. And a neder and a shvur. Those are the two different categories in halacha. They're different categories in halacha. Okay. Meisvil Gemara says that. Though I have a different contradiction though. Another braisa says when the pasuk says moitzas fasecha tishmer vati, so the pasuk says anything that this is talking about donating something for a korban, for example, whatever comes out of your lips you should guard and you should keep and you should do. Ainli ela shahotzi b'sfasav. So we only know from that pasuk that it means if he spoke it with his lips. Gomer b'libam minayin. Where do we know it also applies if he made it up in his mind that it's valid? Then the korban and the thing becomes kadosh. Tamad Lema Kol Nadiv Lev. Therefore, you have a different pasuk when they came to donate material for the Mishkan. The pasuk says Kol Nadiv Lev. Anybody who donated with their heart. So we see it is enough just to have it in mind in your heart without verbalizing.
It's an Adava who says when it's.
We're assuming that's the same thing. The answer is Shiny Hossen, Kol Nadiv Lev. Well, that's exactly it. The difference is by the Mishkan, it explicitly says Kol Nadiv Lev.
Right.
Okay. However, the question is enigma mina. In that case, Abba, why don't we say that we make a binyan av from that and learn for everywhere else? Say that you don't need it to be spoken out with your lips at all. Say that it's always enough just to make it up in your mind. The answer is mishum to have a truma of a kodshim shnei ksuvim abayim keachad, because truma and kodshim are you have two different psukim that express the same din. Rashi over here learns that truma does not mean truma in the usual sense. Rather, it means truma as in the truma for the Malachas HaMishkan, the Yikuli truma, the donations for the Mishkan. So we have that, and we have a different pasuk. We have a different pasuk in Divrei Yomim in connection with bringing korbanos. V'chol nediv leiv oilus.
So how can you make a binyan out if it's one thing specific?
No, so there, that's the thing. If it was one thing, if it only said it by truma or only by kodshim, then you could learn from it. But because it says by two, and we have b'chol shnei ksuvim abayim keachad and melamdim, whenever you have two psukim that teach us the same din, it means it's exclusive only to them. You can't learn it. You can't learn from them to anything else. Tosfos learns, and most other Rishonim also learn, not like Rashi, that truma over here does not mean the nedavos for the Mishkan. Rather, truma means what we usually mean by truma, the 2% or whatever that you take from the crops. Where we have psukim, we have a pasuk, the nechshav lachem trumaschem, that truma is able to be designated just with your thoughts. You don't need to verbalize that this is truma.
But Chachamim agree with that?
Everybody agrees with that. But the point is that. No, again, Rashi learns that truma over here means truma smalachas hamishkan. Everybody else says that it means truma as in truma that's taken from the cross. Whatever, you have that and you have kodshim. Where kodshim is again, you have a pasuk in Divrei Yomim, it describes by Chizkiyahu how the pasuk mentions how they brought many korbanos after the avodah and the Beis Hamikdash had been restored after several years, where Achaz, Chizkiyahu's father, had denigrated and been mevatel the avodah, as we talked about in Sanhedrin. So now they're bringing a whole bunch of korbanos, but call the div leiv oilus, and the pasuk says by truma it says v'nechshav lachem trumasken. Which means that it can be machshava only. But that's why. So the Gemara mentioned kol nediv lev in connection with trumas hamishkan. No, so that maybe that's what forces Rashi to say that truma. Maybe that's what forces Rashi to say that truma means trumas hamishkan, because then you have the word nediv lev by both. Then you have the same word nediv lev by trumas hamishkan as well as by oil. You have to say the word nediv lev in chumash shmos and how does Ayakel. Tosfos learns though that's not what it means.
So
the kol, it means the kol nediv lev refers to the oilus, and by truma you have a different pasuk for nechshav lachem truma. Okay, so anyway, the point is you have shnei ksuma b'ayim kachod. Two pesukim, shnei ksuma b'ayim kachod doesn't mean they have to use the same words. It just means they have to teach us the same din. So as long as you have something by oilus where it's enough to have nediv lev, and something by truma where it's enough to have to designate truma machshava, that's enough for it to be considered shnei ksuma b'ayim kachod. And you have two psukim teach us the same din. You don't learn from them for anywhere else. So only by those two things, truma and kodshim, do we say it applies to machshava nowhere else.
Even if they come from different psukim.
Yeah. Actually, the Rosh brings up a point. The Rosh brings up a different point against both Rashi's and Tosfos' explanation, which is that we usually don't call it shnei ksuma b'ayim kachod when you have one from Chumash and one from Nach. So he has a different explanation that both of them are. So he has a different explanation that both of them are referring to Pesukim in Chumash. But yeah, okay. Anyway, Hanichal Mandorma in Melamdin. Fine, all that works out very well according to the opinion that two Pesukim that teach us the same din is enough to not be Melamdin. Elo Mandorma Melamdin. But you have another opinion that says that two that Shnei Ksuma B'ayim Kachod you can learn from only if you have three or more that are Melamdin the same thing. Then you can't. Ma'ikal Meima. Well, then what are you going to say? The answer is, in that case, have a chulin v'kodshim. Fine, but you have to consider, then, you have chulin versus kodshim, because we're talking chulin over here, we're talking about shavuos, which applies to chulin, versus kodshim, versus donating something to the Beis Hamikdash, v'chulin v'kodshim, like gemrinin. And in general, we don't learn things of chulin from things of kodshim. So therefore,
we can learn
things of kodshim from kodshim, we can learn things of chulin from chulin, but not one to the other. So therefore we can say that Rabbeinu Hananel says the point is kodshim have many chumras to them. Therefore, you can argue kodshim are a special situation. You're able to just think them and they already become kodesh. You can't necessarily say that the same thing would apply to chulin.
How does the other mandama think about that?
The other mandama would say maybe you couldn't. But the point is you have shnei ksuvim, so you don't need it. It is true, though, actually, the Achiezer, Rav Chaim Ozer, and the Rogachov both talk about, based on a Loshon of the Rambam, that we're saying that if you think in your mind that a certain animal should be a korban or whatever, it is chal in the sense that you are obligated to fulfill what you had in mind. Doesn't necessarily mean that the animal itself doesn't necessarily become fully hektish yet, in the sense, let's say, for example, the person who had that thought dies, his son is not necessarily obligated to bring it as a korban. They also discussed, by the way, the poskim discussed the relevance of this as far as tzedakah, for example, of goma b'liboy. Does goma b'liboy have the same effect as far as tzedakah? A person makes up in their mind they're going to give X amount of tzedakah, for example, is that chal?
The answer is?
I believe the halacha is that yes. I believe the halacha is in that sense we consider it like hektashem.
Okay.
Mishnah says, Nishpa levakol osa mitzvah v'lo bittel. Somebody makes a shavua to not do a mitzvah, to be mevakol a mitzvah, to not do a mitzvah, v'lo bittel, and he didn't end up being mevakol it, potter, then he's potter from breaking his shavua. And by the way, levakol osa mitzvah could be either a mitzvah saseh or a mitzvah lo saseh. Levakol osa mitzvah could mean, for example, that he swore that he won't put on tefillin or eat matzah or what have you, mitzvah saseh. It could also mean, for example, that he swore that he's going to do some lo saseh and didn't end up doing it. Either way, he's potter from Shavuos Bitur. Shavuos Bitur doesn't apply to such situations. L'kayim v'lekiyim. What about he made a shavua to fulfill a mitzvah and he didn't end up fulfilling it? Also potter. He's also potter from a korban. Again, we did. We discussed briefly the other day, and we're going to discuss more in the Gemara now where we get this from. We discussed also the other day what the Baal HaMorah and the Ramban argue about on this. Would he be chayiv Malkus maybe and only potter from a korban, or would he be potter from both of them? Okay. Shahoya b'din sheyehe chayiv k'divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. Now, logically, you would think he should be chayiv in this case where he made a shavua to be mekayim a mitzvah and didn't end up doing it. He ought to be chayiv for a korban olah v'yored for his shavua k'divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, which would go according to what Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says. Shahoya b'din sheyehe chayiv. You would think logically that he should be chayiv. Namely. Amr Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, namely Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says like this, we learned this the other day in the Gemara, Ma'im Arashus Shainim Mushbal of Mahar Sinai, Madach, when it comes to something optional, will you not be sworn from Mahar Sinai to do it or not to do it, Harayu Chayav Olav, and we're saying you make a Shavuot to do it or not do it, you Chayav a Korban, if you violated your Shavuot, Mitzvah, Shul Mushbal of Mahar Sinai, well, in a Mitzvah that you're already be sworn from Mahar Sinai to do, Ein Adin, Shehe Chayav Olav, how much more so that if you failed to fulfill your Shavuot to do it, you should be Chayav. Amru loy, so the Chacham answered him, loy, imam, no, you don't, it's not comparable, imam ma'utu b'shavuah sarashus. You can say that this applies to a shavuah, that's something optional, shaken also b'lav kehein, because when it comes to rashus, lav and hein are on an equal level. You're able equally well to make a shavuah to do it or not to do it, and either one will work. And the pasuk says, we need them, l'horay l'haytiv, the pasuk says, to do bad or to do good, which implies to deny yourself or to indulge yourself.
Not
a time of a Shavuos mitzvah. How can you compare exactly to a Shavuos mitzvah? Shekain shaloi also a lav kehain. Lav and hain are not on the same level. Sheim nishva levatov lebitzel. Because as we said in the first line of our Mishnah, if you swear to be mevatel a mitzvah v'loy bitzel and you didn't end up being mevatel it, potter. Then you potter from your potter from korban shavua. By the way, you will be chayav malchus if it was bemezid. You'll be chayav for a Shavuos shav. That would be an example of Shavuos shav because you made a shavua that's impossible to fulfill. However, we're talking about over here as far as a korban. Tosfos brings a girsa that according to which Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira himself would make a distinction and would say that there are cases where he'd agree that you're potter. There are cases when we said shahoya b'din shehei chayev divir Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, namely that Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira would say that in some cases you chayev and in some cases you potter within the case of nishvah l'kayim as a mitzvah.
Because
Rabbi Yehuda would agree, for example, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira would agree there is a concept ein isur chalal isur. So therefore, it depends what kind of mitzvah we're talking about. So where it depends what kind of mitzvah we're talking about that he made that he swore to fulfill. If he swears, let's say for example that he swore, let's say not to eat nevela, and he ended up breaking that and eating nevela, ein isur chalal isur. You can't be mechayev him for his shavuah. You can't be mechayev him for the issur of breaking the shavua when the nevela was already mushba v'ayim and ma'ar sinai.
But that's Tosfos's girsa.
Okay. Tana rabbanan. Yochol nishba levatol sam mitzvah v'lebitol yehechayev. So you would think maybe yes, a person swears to be mevatol a mitzvah and he didn't end up doing it. So he swore, let's say, not to eat matzah on Pesach, and he ended up eating matzah after all. Maybe he should be chayev for breaking his shavua. No, therefore the pasuk says that he made a shavua to do bad or to do good, from which we learn, just by doing good has to be something which is optional, as we will see soon, as the Gemara will establish, we'll discuss soon, how we can see that. So also the doing bad has to also be something that's optional. For example, I won't eat or I won't sleep or what have you. Tosfos points out, by the way, we learned yesterday. We had Rabbi Akiva had a different way of learning that a shavua doesn't apply to a bar mitzvah because he learned it from his ribuy miut. He was reminded from that, but our braisa is going according to the other opinion. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oitzi nishvah levatol semitzvah v'loy bitzol sheyehei pater. Fine. So now we understand then what we now we can exclude this case that we just discussed. Person made a shavua to not do a mitzvah, and he ended up not do and he ended up he made a shavua to abrogate a certain mitzvah, and he didn't end up abrogating it. He ended up following what the Torah says to do. Shavu pater. Fine. We just established on the basis of lahoroi lahetiv that he's pater. Fine. How about the flip case? How about the opposite case, where he made a shavua to be mekayim a mitzvah and didn't end up being mekayim it? Shehei chayev. You would think maybe in that case he should be chayev for a korban. And again, according to the Baal HaMoreh, he will in fact be chayev malchus for his b'mezid. We're only dealing here with the korban b'shoyu. According to the Ramban, it's both. So how do we know that he's not chayev? Again, talmud loyim lahora elahetiv. Again, because the pasuk says to do bad or to do good. Implying maharah rishus ha-hatovah rishus, just like the doing bad has to be something optional, so the hatovah has to be doing something, because the mitzvah, right? We're going to discuss soon, the Gemara is going to discuss soon, how is it we started the braisa by taking it as a given that the hatovah is a rishus, and learning from it the harah, and now we're doing the other way around. How do we know either one of them is how do we know that both of them are in fact rishus? Okay. So, oitzi nishva l'kayim et mitzvah v'lekiyim shul pater. Fine. So now we're able to exclude the case where a person swore to be l'kayim a mitzvah and didn't end up doing it. We're saying that he's pater from his carbon. How about another case? Yochol nishva l'hora l'atme v'lehera. What about a person made a shavua to harm himself and he didn't end up harming himself? Yochol yehei pater. You would think he should be pater that the fact that he broke his shavua. Maybe he should be pater from it.
Why would you think he should be pater?
Because we would think that laharai lahetiv only means that the things, for example, that I won't eat such and such or whatever. You wouldn't know. How do you know that it also applies to the case, for example, where the person says I'm going to make a shavua, let's say to harm myself, to injure myself or something. That it's a different kind of injury. In fact, Tosfos points out that you actually have a machloikus in Bava Kamma. You have a famous discussion: is a person allowed to injure themselves? You have the opinion of Rabbi Lazar Akapler, I think it is, who says that you're not allowed to. And according to that, then it would be nishvah levatol as a mitzvah. You could argue at least that it would be nishvah levatol as a mitzvah. That it would be swearing to if a person were to make shvur to harm him, to injure himself, then it would be swearing to override a mitzvah. So Tosfos says our braisa has to be going according to the opinion that you are allowed to injure yourself. Other Rishonim
talk necessarily, because even if you're obligated al pi Torah, why would your shvur be chal?
If
obligated not to harm yourself.
Exactly. So then that's the question. If we say that you're obligated to not harm yourself, Abitura, to not injure yourself, then your shavua shouldn't be chal.
Right.
So Tosfos is learning that that this part of the braisa is only when we're saying that you are that such a shavua is in fact chal, and you are it has to be according to the opinion that you are allowed to injure yourself. Other Rishonim talk about that not necessarily, because even if we say that the halacha is you're not allowed to injure yourself, we only learn that from a drasha of psukim. It's not so explicitly in the psukim that you should consider it nishvah l'vatol as a mitzvah. So therefore, that's not considered explicit enough. In context, v'shmartim and nishmartim o'ed l'nafsh seichem means be very careful about yourself not to make images. The fact that it means that you should guard your lives and guard your health and whatever is a drasha. So not necessarily would it be considered in context, you look over there in the context, in Parshas Vayetzchanan, it's talking about Moshe telling the Jewish people, be very careful about yourselves. You didn't see any image of Hashem by Matan Torah. So be careful, don't make images and start worshiping Him.
But not necessarily
would it apply yet. Okay. So anyway, back to the Braisa. Yochol nishva lahora la'atme v'lahera. So you would think a person makes a shavua to injure himself, and he didn't end up injuring himself. Yochol yehei potter. You would think that he should be potter for breaking his shavua. Tamad lama lahora elahetiv. Therefore, again, the pasuk says to do bad or to do good. Again, ma'atov rishus aharah rishus. Therefore, that means just like doing good is something that's optional, so also doing bad, harming himself, is something that is optional. And it is, again, either... Again, it's optional either according to the opinion, either it's outright optional according to the opinion that a person is allowed to injure themselves. There's no mitzvah in the Torah preventing it. And even according to the opinion that you're not allowed to, which is halacha, nevertheless, it's only something we learn from Jerusha. It's not something more explicitly in the Torah.
That's a drasha.
That's what I was just saying. That's in context, the pasuk is talking about something else.
Let me ask you a question. It's weaker when you say it's derived from... It's stronger when it's directed from the pasuk than it's a drasha.
Yeah.
Why would you say
because
that?
Because when it's explicit in the pasuk, then you can call it nishvah levatol hamitzvah. You would be sworn by Har Sinai not to eat chametz on Pesach and to put on tefillin and to not do this. When it's a drasha, not necessarily. Yeah. Fine. So then, so then, Avi Nishba Lahor al Asmer Lahera. Fine. So now we're able to include the case when you chayav a carbon, when you swore to injure yourself and you didn't end up injuring yourself. Fine. Shorosh Shusbiyade, because again, that's something that's optional. You have it in your power. You have it in your, you're permitted to do one way or the other. How about a case a person makes a shavua to injure other people? You would, and he doesn't end up doing it. You would think that he should be chayav carbon. No, tamad loy malahora elahetiv. Again, ma'atav rishus afarah rishus. And you don't have permission to injure or harm somebody else. So that can't be considered a valid shavuos victory of the type that you'd be chayav carbon for. So fine. Oitzin nishba lahora lacherim v'leheira. So fine. So now we're able to exclude the case where a person made a shavuah to harm other people and he didn't end up harming them. But then that's not considered a shavuos bitui, she'ein or a shavuos biyode, because he has no permission to do such a thing.
He's able to.
He's physically able to go and injure the other person. He's not allowed to. I'll be sorry.
Can you make the kavachoner if already doesn't have a shavuos to harm others? Certainly not himself.
No, doesn't work that way. Other people have their own property and their own body and whatever. His body, you could argue, belongs to him. So the Maaseh, we don't say that. We say your body belongs to Hashem, but you do have opinions about that.
And,
yeah. Okay. Minayin l'rabas hatovas acher. And how do we know, though, to include the case for that he'd be chayav a korban if he made a shavua to do good to other people? So like we said the other day, for example, he made a shavua that he's going to give somebody money and didn't end up doing it, for example. How do we know that that's included and he'd be chayav a korban if he doesn't do it? Tamad lama oyla heitiv. Therefore, the pasuk says, or to do good. The Ezehi Haras Acherim, and the Bright finishes off, what is considered, what's an example of injuring somebody else, what is an example of Haras Acherim? Akes Pliny v'Eftas Moichai. For example, the person says, I'm going to hit Pliny and split his head open. If he doesn't end up doing it, that's not considered that he was over on a Shavuos Bitur. Because again, he has no Rishus to do that. Okay.
Because it's also
to injure somebody else. Okay. So now let's start analyzing. This that we're saying before, we're going back and forth between Hara and Hatova and saying just like one of them is Rishus, so the other one is Rishus. How do we know, in fact, that the Pesukim are talking about a Dvar HaRishus, about things that are optional, that you have the choice, Alpitoto, whether to do or not to do? Dilma Dvar Mitzvah Sivi. Maybe, in fact, the Hara and the Hatova over here are, in fact, talking about things involving mitzvahs. The answer is lois sakadaydach. You can't think that way. Deba'inen hatova dumya dahara, vahara dumya dahatova. Because you have to have that doing good is similar to doing bad, and vice versa. And the way we know that they have to be similar is because the akish hara la'atova, because we have them put together in the pasuk. We have lahara oylahetiv back to back in the pasuk. Therefore, we learn that one has to be like the other one. So therefore, ma'atova einu b'bitul mitzvah, just like doing good cannot imply that you're being mevatel a mitzvah, because you're not doing good. If a person, for example, eats on Yom Kippur, or eats chametz on Pesach, those are the two examples Rashi brings, you can't call that hatova. Sure, he's satisfying his body, but he's harming his neshama. So obviously, hatova by definition cannot refer to violating a mitzvah. Hatava can only be, for example, doing good, eating matzah on Pesach night like you're supposed to. So just like hatava cannot involve violating a mitzvah, a hara ain't a b'vital mitzvah. The same way the hara can also not involve, since again they have to be similar, it also can involve breaking a mitzvah. So the hara can't be, for example, I won't eat matzah. because then that would wouldn't be similar to the Hatava. Because the Hatava by definition, Hatava by definition,
arise like Hatava. Then you're saying Hatava, you cannot.
So now we're going like this. What we're saying is like this: Hatava, the ultimate good is to do mitzvah. It's to do mitzvah. Therefore, Hatava cannot involve breaking a mitzvah.
Correct.
Therefore, by analogy, Hara cannot involve breaking a mitzvah either. Hara could only be something like I won't eat chametz.
Okay.
Saying I will eat chametz, you would think that would be hara because that's what he's doing bad for his neshama. But by comparing it with hatava, we say that not because then that would be the parallel would be to be mevatel mitzvah, and that's not good. Yeah.
So what is it then?
That's why we're saying. That's why we're in the middle of discussing. That's why we're in the middle of figuring out that it has to be Dvar HaRashus. Harah Gufa Hatovahi. So therefore, the doing bad itself, has to be a kind of thing which is doing good. Namely, for example, the harah that we could be talking about is, for example, I won't eat chametz. Where he's doing bad for, he's denying himself something, he's denying himself chametz, but it's hatava because he's doing good for his neshama. However, the akish hatava l'harah, but now we have the hekish the other way around also. Hatava has to be similar to harah. Ma harah ain't a b'kiyum mitzvah. Harah, again, cannot involve that the person is fulfilling a mitzvah. Harah can't be, for example, that. Harah can't be, for example, that I won't eat chametz, which is fulfilling the mitzvah. Because again, he can't call that harah. He's not doing bad for himself. He's doing good for himself by not eating chametz.
Same for hatava.
Hatava ain't a mitzvah. The same way hatava cannot mean that he's going to fulfill a mitzvah. Namely, let's say that he's not going to eat on Yom Kippur because Hatava Gufa Harah, because it's doing good for his neshama, but it's doing bad for his body. He's denying himself.
So therefore,
it has to be Dvar HaRashus, yeah. So the question is, in that case, Ihochi B'Dvar HaRashus Nami L'Nashkat Masla. Well, in that case, then, by Dvar HaRashus, don't you have the same kind of thing? I mean, you could have, let's say, the same kind of thing. You could have, for example, That you could have a person is making a shvua not to eat something that's bad for his body. So it's hatava in that he's preserving his health, but it's harah in that he's denying himself something. And if you're gonna go like that, then we would say it's not necessarily gonna apply to all divrei harashos either. But we know that it does apply to divrei harashos. So if a person makes a shvua that I'm not gonna eat unhealthy food, such a shvua is chal. Even though it's partially lahara and partially lahitiv, because it's dvar rishus. So if it works by rishus, it doesn't have to be that the harah is 100% harah. It doesn't have to be that the hatava is 100% hatava. Why should it? It could be a little bit of both. Why can't it be the same thing by mitzvah then? No. So we can't say that's the explanation. How we know?
To say that it has to be one that
the hatava is completely hatava and the harah is completely harah, because by divrei rishus you don't necessarily find it. Elam is the itzrich oil rabat hatava sacherim. No, but rather like this: since we need, as we said in the Braita, that we have the word oil lahetiv, or to do good, and we learn from that that we're marba the case of doing good to somebody else, where you made a shavua, let's say, to give somebody else money and you didn't end up giving it to him. Obviously, then that alone teaches us that the hatava we're talking about has to be something optional. Because if you're going to argue that that hatava refers to a mitzvah, I'm going to give him tzedakah, let's say, when he needs it. You don't need that. We already have a ribui before that doing bad to somebody which is being mevatel a mitzvah. We already mentioned that in the Braisa. We already discussed that case in the Braisa where the person made a shavua to do bad to somebody else, where his shavua is telling him to violate a mitzvah. Hatava sacherim mebaya. Would we need to say the case that where he's intending to do good for somebody else, which is fulfilling a mitzvah? The fact that we need a special, the question is that we mentioned before in the Braisa that a person makes a shavua to do bad to somebody else, for example, to injure somebody else, then we said that such a thing is not considered a shavua to be true because he's making a shavua to break a mitzvah, to violate a mitzvah, to hurt somebody else.
As opposed to when he says to help somebody else.
So
when he's not breaking mitzvah.
Right, but how much more so you wouldn't need to tell us about it in the pasuk. Because once you have lahara that a shavua to harm somebody else is ineffective, where to break a mitzvah, how much more so that a shavua to do a mitzvah for somebody to give him tzedakah, for example, would be ineffective. Okay. The very fact that we have to have a limud to say that the case where you're trying to be mative to do good to somebody else, and we say you are chayav for korban for such a shavua spitui, that itself implies that it must be talking about a dvar harashus. A divine mitzvah you would learn by a kavah chomer if you potter for the case where you made a shavua to injure the other person and you end up doing it, how much more so you'd be potter for the case where you made a shavua to help the other person and you didn't.
So it has to be
advar rishus. And once we know that the hatovah is rishus, then automatically, based on the gzeira shavua we said before, then we know that the harah also has to be rishus. So mitzvah, whether the shavua is to break a mitzvah or to keep a mitzvah, are excluded. The problem with all that is, v'hai oy mi boy le l'chalik. Don't we need the word lahara oy lahetiv? We need the word oy in there, or because of, to separate them. Because otherwise, if I said lahara u lahetiv, it would mean maybe you need a shvur that's doing both good and bad. Maybe you only chayav a korban out of the earth if you made a shavua for bad and for good. Only if, let's say, you made a shavua, I will eat today, I won't eat tomorrow, and then you ended up breaking both parts of it, let's say, maybe only then you chayav. You need the oy to tell us that you chayav only for a shavua that I won't eat and you ate, only for a shavua I will eat and you didn't eat.
So where do we see,
you're saying that oy lahetiv means that teaches us that it applies to the case where you're trying to do good for a person optionally, not as a mitzvah, but just optionally, but we need the oy for a different purpose. The answer is l'chalak l'tzarech kro. You don't need that word oy in order to divide them. We can figure it out in a different. So the question is, Hanichal Rabbi Yonasan. Fine, that works out according to Rabbi Yonasan's opinion, who says that you don't necessarily need the oy for that purpose. El Rabbi Yoshia Ma'i Klamemer. What are you going to do according to Rabbi Yoshia?
How would you express it?
You could say Lahara Ula Hativ, and we would still understand that it means that we would still understand that it means either one or the other. But the question is how? Now we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia. In a few places in Shas, we're bringing it over here. We also had it in Rav Matzia, and we had it in Sanhedrin. You have a machlokas. When the pasuk puts two things together with a vav, does it mean and or does it mean or? No. It puts two things together. It mentions one the another. Es aviv ve'es imay, for example. Does it mean both of them or does it mean one or the other? So the tanya. So this works out according. We can understand according to Rabbi Yonasan how we can make this work, because Rabbi Yonasan says that even with a vav it's able to mean or, but according to Rabbi Yoshia that in a case like that you need a special limud in order to say that it means or. What would you do? You need the word oy for that purpose.
Yoshia, you understand or with the vav unless specified otherwise means and right.
The Tanya, as we learn in Hebrew, so when the pasuk says Isha sheyikal las avavesi, right? The pasuk says a person curses his mother, his father, his mother. So again, does vav mean and or does it mean or? Ein li'ala avavim, right? Based on that part of the pasuk, you would only know that he's chayiv misa if he cursed his father and his mother. Aviv v'la'ima ima v'la'aviv minayin. How do we know he's also chayiv misa if he cursed only his father or only his mother? Talmud Lomar, Aviv v'imay kilo, therefore the pasuk continues, his father and his mother he cursed. Aviv kilo, imay kilo, divrei Rabbi Yoshia. So Rabbi Yoshia says, in other words, you have in the first half of the pasuk, the word yikalol is next to es aviv. At the end of the pasuk, you have imay v'imay kilo, so you have here the word imay next
separately.
To kilo, not separately. You have in different parts of the pasuk. In the first part of the pasuk, you have yikalol es aviv, and in the second half of the pasuk, you have v'imay kilo. So by putting it like that, by phrasing it like that, the Torah wants to tell us it applies whether he only cursed his father or whether he only cursed his mother. But we need that. We need those words, other v'imakilo, because otherwise we wouldn't know it. Otherwise we would think it means only both of them. That's what Rabbi Yoshi says. Rabbi Yonasan says no. The vav could mean both of them together. It could equally well mean each one separately. You don't. So therefore, you don't need the you should assume that it means each one separately. Unless the pasuk spells out yachzav, like for example, when the Torah says, an ox and a donkey together, says Rabbi Yonasan, only because it says yachzav do we know it means both of them. If it had together, if it hadn't said yachzav, you could understand the pasuk to mean you're not allowed to plow with an ox by itself or with a donkey by itself.
So here it means separately.
So therefore, for him, it should mean separately. So according to Rabbi Yonasan, you don't need the oy of all pasuk. If it had said instead of lahara oy lahetiv, if it had said lahara ulahetiv, it would still mean or. It would still mean or. And Rabbi Yonasan, unless it says yachta. Until it says yachta, it means or. So
they say exact opposites of the same idea. It's always and unless
basically, that's what they're. Yes, that's basically. Yes, that's basically what it is. Is that according to Rabbi Yoshi, it always means and unless you have a drasha to the contrary, and according to Rabbi Yonasan, the other way around, it always means or unless you have a word yachdov or something like that that teaches us that it's and. Yeah. By the way, Rashi points out. So what does Rabbi Yonasan do with the words of v'imakilo? He says that we learned in Sanhedrin that he learns from that that even if you curse them after they died, you still chayav misa. We learned in the ninth parak over there where we talk about these dinim. The halacha in fact, if I remember correctly, is that the halacha actually I don't remember if he's five after they died. I think so, but I'm not sure. Yeah, we're talking about that kind of fall, yeah. Or anyway, involving Hashem. Anyway, so the question, according to the Yoshia, we need the word oy in the pasuk, because otherwise you would think it means only if he makes a shvua lahara and lahetiv. So according to him, the word oy is not extra. How are we using it for the drasha? The answer is a filotemer of Yoshia. You could even make this all work according to the Yoshia. The Savala could have activated the Doris Buya Miyoti. He says, I don't need to learn that a divine mitzvah is excluded from these words oy lahetiv in the way that we just did, Adam Aleph. He can learn like Rabbi Akiva, that who learned, as we said yesterday, that he learned from a ribuyan miyot, what is included, what is excluded, where Rabbi Akiva said a divine mitzvah is excluded because it's the least similar to the horai lahetiv, because the horai lahetiv is something, it implies that you have full control whether to do it or not to do it, and a divine mitzvah you don't. So therefore, the yata le'oy l'chalet, so therefore Rabbi Yoshi has available the word oy to say that it means that they're separate.
Because he goes like Rabbi Akiva,
yeah. And the miut in this case is the divine mitzvah. The thing that most should be excluded is divine mitzvah. So therefore, Rashi adds that since we said, as we said the other day, you need lav v'hein, you need any shavua to be something that you could equally well phrase it in the positive as the negative, and here you can't phrase it in the negative to break the mitzvah. So therefore, you can't phrase it in the positive to keep a mitzvah either.
Therefore.
And therefore, so Rabbi Akiva has it that way. Therefore, Rabbi Yoshi has available the word oy l'chalet. So he has available the word oy. So therefore he would say from that that it means that they are in fact divided. That it's one or the other. He doesn't need to use the word oy for the drasha. In fact, Tosfos pointing out is the next thing. So, Iyamet Beshlemu Dvar Hirshut Siv. So, if you say, it works out well if you say that the Pasuk is all talking about Dvar Hirshut, about things that are optional, whether you're going to do them or not. Dvar Mitzvah, then it's logical to say, what are we being the Mayat? According to Rabbi Akiva, we're being the Mayat the case where you made a Shavua to break or to keep a Mitzvah. Eli Iyamet Dvar Mitzvah Siv. But if you were to say that the Lahora Elahetiv, the Pasuk itself, is referring to a Dvar Mitzvah, that you made a Shavua to break or to keep a Mitzvah, Mamai come Mamai. Then what exactly are you being Mamai?
It works if you say
it works if you say that's not a dvar mitzvah. So then you can say you're my dvar mitzvah, but doesn't apply to dvar mitzvah. If you were to say the horay lahetiv itself is a dvar mitzvah, you have nothing else to exclude. Now Tosfos says you do actually have, for example, you can have. Even if you said it was a dvar mitzvah, you could argue you'd be mamay the case, for example, where you made a shavua about something the opposite of what everybody knows, the stone pillar in gold, for example. Tosfos says, as we said before, that it's all shkulin. They're all on an equal level. So to make a shavua, to break a mitzvah, is just as impossible as to make a shavua that this is gold, for example. So therefore, there's no reason to think that you should be mamay one more than the other. Also, Tosfos says in that case, it could instead of lahora ilahetiv, it could have said lasis and shaloi lasis, and we would have understood that it meant a dvar mitzvah. Instead, the fact that it uses the word hadra and hatava lahora ilahetiv implies that it's dvar rishis. Otherwise, it would have said lasis and shaloi lasis, to do and not to do.
It could have meant
dvar mitzvah. So we said in the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira ma imar rishis. So we said Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira made his kavah koimer. That a shavua on a dvar mitzvah should be chal, and the chachamim shlugged it up because they said that one you have full choice whether to do it or not, and in the case of a dvar mitzvah you don't. So Rabbanon shat the kamei le Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. The Rabbanon have a good answer to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. Why is he still keeping his opinion? So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, omalach, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira can answer you. Also, atovas achirim, when you consider, isn't it the case when it comes to doing good for somebody else? Lav apagav the less of a fal hadras achirim. Isn't it true that even though you can't include the case where you made a shavuot to harm somebody else, it's true harming somebody else would be making a shavuot to break a mitzvah, and even I agree you can't do that. And nevertheless, we see that a shavuot to do good for another person is chal, as we said in the Brayis Anam and Aleph. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says it doesn't necessarily have to be lav v'hein, as we discussed the other day. You don't necessarily have lahorai lahetiv over there. When it comes to somebody else, to make a shavua to harm somebody else is surely not binding. We said on Amud Aleph, the potter from breaking the shavua, and yet we see that a shavua to do good to somebody else, like for example to give them a present, is binding. So you see, therefore, you don't need to have that. You don't need to have that. That it has to be completely something that's optional that you're allowed to do. Lahochanami, the same thing over here. The kiyum mitzvah, when it comes to a shavuot to fulfill a mitzvah, afagav the lesser the bitul mitzvah. Even though you don't have the parallel case where you can make a shavuot to not keep a mitzvah, because that wouldn't be hal. Still, you can argue Ravi Rachmani. You see, the Torah is still matter. So therefore, yes, a shavuot to keep a mitzvah should be hal, just as much as a shavuot to do good to somebody else. In both cases, the converse of it, you can't. You can't make a shavuot not to do a mitzvah. You can't make a shavuot to harm somebody else. But the Torah is ma'ir the one, therefore we should be ma'ir the other. That's why Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira maintains his opinion.
Because he said, although you cannot make a mitzvah to harm someone else,
a shavuot to harm somebody else. To harm somebody else. And such a shavuot is not chal, but a shavuot to help to do good to somebody else is chal. Well, by the same logic, a shavuot to eat chametz on Pesach wouldn't be chal, but a shavuot to not eat chametz on Pesach should be chal. V'rabbanan, and one of the Rabbanan answers that, the answer is it is at least reversible to this extent. Chosen isse b'loy eitir. Fine. Over there you can have, fine. You can't make a shavuot to harm somebody else, but you can do the converse, the opposite of I'll do good for him is not necessarily I'll harm him. The opposite of I'll do good to him is I won't do good to him, I won't do him a favor. And fine, that's optional. Instead of doing that. Here your hands are tied. You can't say I will eat chametz on Pesach. You also can't say I won't eat masa on Pesach. You're obligated to eat masa and you're also to eat chametz. So therefore it's even less comparable. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira doesn't have an answer to that. He doesn't find that distinction to be compelling. He says, look, it doesn't matter. You have a binary distinction over there. You see, it's one or the other. And the Chachamim are pointing out, when it comes to another person, it's not a binary, it's a ternary distinction. You have three possibilities, lahora, or not lahetiv, lahora, or not lahetiv.
Mm-hmm.
Where, yeah, to be neutral, sort of. Whereas when it comes to mitzvahs, you don't have. There's no neutrality when it comes to mitzvahs, yeah. Doesn't take that into consideration. He says as long as the fact is you have bad or good, and we see that you have one and you don't have the other, and we see the Torah is neither, then that's good enough.
Yeah.
The halacha is not like it, but yeah.